this morning.
I asked you a question. If you could do anything you wanted to do, who would like to do that? All the honest people raised their hands. Here's what happened to me many years ago. I had a young couple, married, two kids, and he worked at Clark State, and he got a job offer up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he asked me to come over, and he said, we got to make this decision about whether I take this job in Erie, and we want to know if it's God's will for us. And so I said, well, you're just not going to find that in the Bible. You're not going to find it in the Bible that you got to go to Erie for a new job. But I said, speaking of God's will, if you really want to know God's will, His will for you is for you to do whatever you want to do. And so I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to Erie? Go to Erie. If you don't want to go to Erie, stay here. What do you want to do? And he said, well, we want God's will on that. And I said, but God's will for you going to Erie is not in the Bible. But I said, here's what God's will wills tell us. And so we're going to look tonight at what God's will is. And it's going to hopefully help you to help others to see that God has a plan. And His plan for you is for you to do whatever you want. You like that? Well, there's just a few things that we have to look at to line up in our lives. And so the first thing that I said, Jonathan was his name, Jonathan and Sarah. I said, Jonathan, Sarah, I said, here's the first thing. I said, are you a believer? Are you born again? And they said, well, yeah. And I knew they were. Great godly couple, been in the church for years serving. And I said, you see, in order to know God's will, it has to begin with salvation. You have to be born again, because here's what it says. And in 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. In fact, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave, right? His beloved Son, that whoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The option is for everybody. That's God's will. It's never been God's will to just punish people. We don't have a God who, and for me as a new believer, that was part of the scariness of God. When I knew I was out of line, I'd be just waiting for Him to spank me. I didn't realize the punishment was me waiting. So the first part that has to take place in order to know God's will is you have to be a believer. And so I believe everyone here is a believer. The second part is actually everything you heard this morning. The second part to knowing God's will is you must be Spirit-filled. Now, let's settle this. You get Spirit-filled the moment you get saved. Okay? You get all of the Spirit. There's no second, third, fourth filling. That doesn't exist. That's a man thinking. You get all of God, all of Him at one time. But there's this part of you being Spirit-filled. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk in wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The only way you and God get close is for you and God to talk. Well, if you're like me, I prefer an audible voice. Got saved in 1980. To this day, I've not heard an audible voice. But what he did give me was the Word of God. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you hear that this morning? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has given you this God-breathed book that men wrote that is absolutely perfect. And there's no way man, if it was up to man to write this book, would never have been written like this. You wouldn't have a Savior coming, being born in a stable. Romans 8, 9 says this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed in the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit is living in you, then look at, or do, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, and look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is living inside of you. How do you get to know? How do you know God's will? Well, you have to read the Word of God. You have to listen to it. You have to listen to some songs about it. Now listen, when it comes to songs, be very careful. Satan has a way of using a tune to grab you when the words aren't godly. You really got to listen to the words, because now listen, there's some great artists out here today who are singing, making, writing some amazing songs so that people can worship through song. But the number one way God is going to speak to you is through His Word. So, I asked Jonathan and Sarah, your believers, do you read the Word of God faithfully? And I already knew the answer. I've sat under Jonathan's teaching. He's a good teacher. So the answer to that was yes. Because I said, if you'll remember, here's what John 14:6 says. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that will abide with you forever. There's a key word in that sentence there, that verse. It says, another helper. There's two words for the word another. One is heteros, which means like one another, or another of a different kind. And then there's alios, which is this word, which means exactly the same. And so what Jesus was saying is I got to go so that you can receive the Spirit exactly like me. Listen, we absolutely, you know, if I had a theme this year, it would be exalting the name of Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus, worshiping the name of Jesus. Whatever we do it in the name of Jesus. That would be my theme. And here we see Jesus is living inside every true believer. Amen. You have alios. Alios means exactly the same. Not just another, but one that is exactly the same. The beautiful part is that if God is inside of you and you want to know His will, because we just read His will is for you to be Spirit-filled, right? So, I asked, you're believers, you're in the Word. You believe that God is speaking to you through His Word. And I said, but I told you, you're not going to find whether the new job in Erie is in the Word. So how are you going to discern that? How are you going to discern? How are you going to figure that out? So I said, well, here's the third thing. The third step to knowing God's will is purity. If God, Jesus Christ Himself, who was absolutely perfect, has now taken up residency inside of us, He's called us to a life of purity. Now, are we perfect? No. Do we struggle? Yes. Beautifully, we have the Bible that God gave us, where 1 John 1:9 says, if you have any sins, confess your sins, and I'll be just to forgive you your sins. Listen, we're going to fail. God is looking for that person who has a humble heart that is willing to say, I blown it. Listen, you know it when you blow it. And he knows it. And the spirit living inside of you knows it. And it's that job, the job of that spirit living inside of you to kind of make you miserable. Like I told you, my spanking was waiting on him to spank me. So, scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 7. It says, and again, see how clear this is? Starting in verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God. Does that make sense? Do you want to know the will of God? Do you want to know if the will of God for you is to marry somebody, to take this job? Is it the will of God for me to buy this car? Is it the will of God to go to another school, change a job? Well, are you saved? Are you spirit-filled? And is purity a strive for you? Because listen, in the world we live today, it is very difficult for purity. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And by not knowing God, it means that God is not living inside of them. And so what's driving them is their passion. You got to understand, every person that doesn't belong to God is actually a vessel that Satan can use. Because here's the thing. Scripture tells us very clearly that God is a jealous God. He will not share you with Satan. Satan cannot possess you. But Satan can arrange a lot of things outside of your life. All right? He can arrange a lot of things outside of your life. And so the question then is do I respond to what's outside, or do I respond to what's inside? You see, many people today, it's the pressures outside that are dictating how they're acting and how they're talking. When really what God wants is for the spirit inside of you to dictate how you act and how you talk and what you think and what you do. And so I asked Jonathan, I said, is purity a desire for you? And I asked Sarah, is purity? And both of them said, yes. They're happily married. They want to honor God with their bodies. And so I said, okay, so you're saved, you're spirit-filled, and you're seeking purity. Those are three things that God says is his will. I said, so let me get to a few harder things. Because the fourth option is submission. Isn't it funny that sometimes submission is harder than purity? Submission is harder than reading the Word of God. And listen, we got to get out of the concept that this is just another book that I'm reading. This is the Word of God, the creator of the universe, given to us, kept for us, prepared for us, so that we have it. It's much bigger than just another book. This book changes people's lives from the inside out. And so I asked Jonathan and Sarah, I said, how are you doing with submission? I said, 1 Peter 2:13 and 15 says this, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it is to king and supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Catch this. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. It's the will of God for us to submit today. Listen, it's the will of God for us to submit to our government. And again, this problem we have in our nation, in the world, with police. Here's the thing that I see. In every incident that we have a problem, the person that the policeman, who has the authority, who is over him, they will not submit. They want to fight. They want to argue. They want to reject. They want to push away. They don't want to be arrested. What did your parents teach you to submit to policemen for? They have authority. They're over you. You don't run from them. You don't lie to them. They tell you to get on your knees, you get on your knees. If we had a heart of submission, if you had a heart of submission to God, it's His will, for this is the will of God, that you submit. And so I asked Jonathan and Sarah, I said, John, Sarah, do you have a problem with submission? Do you have a problem submitting to our government? Do you have a problem submitting to your pastor? Do you have a problem submitting to your boss? Do you have a problem in submitting with your neighbors? He's not called us to be at war with our neighbors. He's called us to love them. Better than that, He's called you to love them as you love yourself. And I'm going to guarantee you all like yourself. Sometimes. Here Peter calls for submission that makes you the best possible citizen where you are. And you're not home yet. But you and I are representing Him here. And how we submit here gives honor or glory to Him or shame. So I asked them, are you have any problem with submission? Now, Jonathan said that he thought Sarah probably had a little problem with submission to him every now and then. I said, yeah, it's probably the other way around too, right? But I said, isn't that exactly what Jesus said in the garden? He told Eve, you're going to want to have power over your husband. You're going to want to rule over him. I said, that's just the nature of who women are. Now, not all. But when we come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it changes who we are. So, the fifth thing. Some of you spoke about it here today. Let me read it, and then you'll know what it is. But the fifth will of God is for you to suffer. And we don't like that. Now listen. In order to find Jesus, you have to seek Him. In order to find purity in your life, you have to work for it. In order to be Spirit-filled, you have to put an effort into being into the Word of God. In order to having submission, it's just, again, following under. But suffering is the will of God. And listen, He doesn't tell you to go looking for it. It will find you. So here's what He says in 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 17 says in 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see, what God is saying is a lot of times suffering, you know, we have physical suffering, but sometimes we have suffering. And I don't know that we get that as much as they got it 2,000 years ago. When Paul's being arrested for just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and being beaten and stoned and thrown in prison. And God was so gracious to Paul that He put a physician to be his companion and buddy, Luke, Dr. Luke, who's all the time patching him up, keeping him going. Suffering is not something that you go looking for. Suffering is something that just find you. And here's what God wants. He wants you to understand that all things work to the good for those who love Him. Suffering in our lives keeps us off of the mountaintop where we can't relate to the people in the valley. If you're not down here and in the valley, you can't relate to those people down here. If you've not lost a loved one, you can't relate to that. If you've not had problems with your children and been sick, you can't relate to them. And so suffering is God's will for you. And listen, did you catch what He said? But may the God of grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, catch this, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Remember what this Holy Spirit offers you? The Bible says that this Holy Spirit can comfort you that ways that the world does not understand. There's nothing that makes sense about how God can settle in your heart something that you're going through that's really difficult. And he can give you a peace through that. But he can only give you a peace through that when you understand he's involved in that. This COVID-19 thing, is it real? It is absolutely real. We got some people here that know for sure, several. But I haven't had a fear of it since it came because I belong to him. He's the Lord of everything. So I'm still enjoying life in this COVID thing. I haven't been sick. I can get sick. I may get sick. I may die. What did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be where? What did he say? I would rather be present with the Lord than to be here with you. But for your sake, I'm going to stay here for a little while. Come, Jesus, come. Take me home. The ideal is if you let COVID work on your mind, it'll drive you to a fear that you can't enjoy life. That's not what God is. He's not giving you a life to be miserable. He's giving you a life to be in love with him and love people. All people. It says, love your enemy. Love your neighbor as yourself. You just have to ask yourself sometime, do I treat my neighbor like I treat me? That's what he asked. Listen, it is absolutely impossible unless you have filled your mind is transformed by a renewing in it from the Spirit that lives inside of you, from the Word of God that the Spirit moved to write for you, that it helps you to then change your thinking about what's pressuring you out here. Are you responding to the pressure out here? Do you see a storm? A storm is coming. You're giving your tornado warnings. Do you have fear? I don't have fear. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go out and play in a storm. I'm going to go to the earliest room or lowest room, the middle room that I have, and we don't have any basement, so heaven knows if this tornado hits my house, it's gone. Listen, I asked Jonathan and Sarah, I said, and they have suffered. In fact, his wife, they had two kids, his wife died in her early 30s. That's suffering. And she suffered greatly before she died. Now, I still see Jonathan's post. We talk, text. His heart is still, he misses his wife. Absolutely. But he understands where she is. He understands he'll see them again. He understands he's got two kids who need him to keep it together. And the only way he can do that is knowing that God is involved in that. See, he knows that Sarah didn't go home early and he's not going home late. Scripture tells you that. Your days are numbered. He has it. You're not going to die early. You're not going to die late. You're probably going to die. Unless the rapture comes, I vote for that. I don't know how much power I have, but I vote for that. But I'm not afraid of death. And I'm absolutely excited for those who know Christ and die. And I'm absolutely brokenhearted for those who die who don't know Christ. I can't give their family a hope outside of there's a God who loves them and wants to bear their burdens with them. But I can't sit there and go, your husband, your son, your daughter is in heaven today. When everything in their lifestyle says they didn't even know Jesus. It's difficult. It's hard. So what you need to understand is that suffering is a good thing. You want to know how good suffering was? Think of Jesus' last 3 days. Any suffering going on? Oh my gosh. We can't imagine. But look at the glory at the end. That Sunday morning, the tomb is open, it's empty, and he's alive. Do you know that you'll never die? Your body's going to die, but you are not. Your body's going to lay down one day, but you are not. Who you are. And then this neat thing that God talks about in the rapture, you remember, if you die before he comes back, what does he say? He says the dead in Christ will rise first. He's going to take your dead, messed up, crazy body that's been worldly influenced, and he's going to put it together with your soul in the air. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are left behind will be called up in the air to meet him. That where he is, we can be all the time. Do you believe that? 6th thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Is that any clearer? Give God thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, it is absolutely easy to praise God when you're on the mountaintop. It's a whole other world when you're in the valley. And it's dark, and it's painful, and it's hard. But let me tell you this. If the Holy Spirit moves on your heart in that time to sing a song, to reach out to him in prayer, very difficult to read when you're in that condition, when you're in pain. It's hard to concentrate, but here's what God says. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. And so, Jonathan and Sarah, their question was, do we take the job in Erie? That's what Jonathan said. All I want to know is, do you think it's God's will for us to take the job in Erie? And I came back right to him and I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to do what God's will is. So the last principle. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalms 37:4. Psalms 37:4. Psalms 37:4 says this. Now, I'm going to read it to you slow so that you get it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he, God, will give you the desires of your heart. Do you see that? If these things are active in your life, if you're born again and you're spirit-filled, if you're being submissive and you're working on purity, if you understand that suffering is not meant to put a wedge between you and God, but to draw you close to God, if you are willing to try to give him thanks in all that you do, you know what the answer was to Jonathan and Sarah? What do you want to do? Because if all those things are active in your life, guess who's controlling your life? God is. From the inside. You have the freedom. So I said, Jonathan, you have the freedom to do whatever you want. If those things are active in your life, because who's controlling your life? God is. Where else better to be? And he puts it in black and white for us to read. But hey, remember, Nick said it this morning, I've said it tonight. transform your mind. May your mind be renewed so that your heart understands the things. Listen, there is not one thing in a believer's life that God doesn't have his hands on. But here's another thing. If you're not a believer, there's not one thing in your life that God has his hands on except his grace to let you live. But he owes you nothing. If you haven't accepted his son as a personal Lord and Savior, he owes you nothing. But if you will accept his son, he'll adopt you as his child. And he'll take care of you like a father. For you who are educated, I'll read this a little faster now. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, when you line these things up with your life, you don't have to wonder, what school do I want to go to? Do I buy this car? What do I do? You just, what do I want to do? God will lead, he's leading you. What a great place to be. Understand something. That's why he gave us this book. What an amazing book. Remember, there was one time when Paul and them had set out to go to a city. Scripture says the Spirit stopped them. So what'd they do? They turned and they started going to another city. God says the Spirit stopped them. So they turned and started going to another city. And the scripture says that God stopped them. And then they turned to go to another city, and God let them go. Now let me give you a little principle in life. Little illustration. If I bring my semi with my tanker on it, and I park it in your parking lot, and I said, I need you to go out and turn it around. But you can't start it. How's that going to work for you? You see, the philosophy is this. God has no problem in getting you where you're going if you're moving. If I give you the keys, you can start it up, and you can probably turn it around even if you don't know how. You may wipe out some things, but it'll get turned around. Listen. Don't be afraid. That's what I told Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, if Erie's wrong, God will fix it. He'll move you where he wants you. What do you want to do? I don't know anybody who doesn't want to do what they want to do. And here's what Scripture says. If you'll put those six principles in your life and just actively work them. Listen, you don't have to deal with salvation, right? You either have it or you don't. So once you have it, it's not something you deal with after that. You don't have to deal with suffering. It just finds you. But the other four things, and they're not difficult, because some of them come under the concept of knowing the Word of God and His power. The other four things, if you just put them in your life, being Spirit-filled, that's reading the Word of God, hanging out with brothers and sisters in Christ, bouncing things off of each other, talking Bible studies, that's part of that. If you'll work on purity. Man, Nick gave a great word this morning. Remember what Paul said? The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. There's not much more spiritual dude on the earth than him. And do you see, I love the honesty of Scripture. It said, he struggled. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do, I don't want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who do I have? Jesus. That's who we have. What do you want to do? Here's what Scripture says. If you line those four principles up, Spirit-filled, seek purity, be submissive, understand when suffering comes, and you don't have to work on that because it's coming. It'll find you. If it hasn't found you, it will. Just wait on it. And being thankful in all things. All things work to the good for those who love Him. All things. There's not one thing that God doesn't have His hand on. Listen, if He can count and number the hairs in your head, it's not an issue for Him to work with the things that's going on in your life. He's looking for you. He's moving for you to do what? We have one mission as a church: to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live it the best we can, but to share it. Because listen, there's people out there who are lost. Good people. There's some bad people. By the way, there's some bad people who are pearly saved too. You can't earn your salvation by works. And Isaiah 46:6 says, your best deeds are as filthy rags to a holy God. So the best that you and I have to offer to God is not good enough. That's good because the only thing good enough is Jesus Christ. In Him, we have hope, we have life. So, back to the question I asked you this morning. Who in here wants to do whatever they want to do? You line those four principles up in your life. Do what you want. Let's pray. Father, we pause tonight to thank You for a time to worship You in song and testimony. We thank You for the hearts that You've touched this year and last year and how You've moved us to this place. And Lord, it's so exciting to see Your hand still moving, still working. And in a way that we can even see it. We thank You. We thank You for the testimony of baptism this morning. What a beautiful picture. We thank You for the opportunity to come and sing songs from our hearts about You, how we actually feel. We thank You that we had a time of giving a sacrificial offering back to You. We thank You for the word that was brought this morning and Your word this evening. And Lord, we thank You that You have said this. You have said that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need for the life here to bring glory and honor to You. Help us, dear Jesus, to be submissive to the Spirit living inside of us, to the word that directs us, being thankful for the Christ who saved us, and a heavenly Father who could watch His Son endure a cross and still have mercy on us. Lord, we give You this week and all that it holds. We ask You to help us to be thankful in all circumstances. We ask for Your hand of protection to watch over us. We pray for those who are sick. And Lord, we know. Lord, I am not making light of COVID. I'm just simply saying I'm not living my life in fear of it. I could get it. I understand. Maybe I have and don't even know it. I don't know. But Lord, You have offered us life. You said You've come to give us life and to give us life abundantly. And that abundant life is bigger than just eternally, it's a life of hope. And so, Lord, we give You ourselves, asking You to forgive us for the times that we fall so short. Thank You for Your mercy and grace and provisions. And everything in our lives, we trust the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. And all the people said, amen.